I believe that Sunfresh is going to be bringing us a delicious tailgate at home pack for us to enjoy and start. Hey, look, everyone else is starting the tailgate real early. Why can't we? We'll start that. As Romeo Cornell once said, you could get some ribs. Give kudos to that, to anyone that might want some ribs. I don't know.
It's going to be a long day today. Fun in a fun way.
Why has Romeo Cornell played such a prominent role on this show so far?
Because he left us with
the ribs.
He left us with some things that we don't want to let go of.
Some hams. You got to give him some kudos for being able to do that.
Right. Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. You're very positive.
Shorts, basically, you do have your underwear on. You know.
You're a very positive, a positive man. Have you given anyone kudos lately?
I'd never heard that one before.
Why don't you? You probably erroneously said kudos, but...
You got to give him some kudos for being able to do that.
Some kudos. I'd like to give you and your colleagues some kudos for the coverage you guys have done on this this emotional farewell tour of the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, thank you. There's been a lot, you know?
Your story about Eric Hosmer, and it just kind of like crystallized in my mind how... He was a kid. Like, he was a kid when he came to town, when we got to know him, and now he's, like, a world champ and a grown man and,
yeah.
You know, all these things. I don't know. Anyways, I just wanted to give you a tip of the cap. You and Sam and everybody have done a really great job of all that.
Him and Sam?
You and Sam and Sam.
Good job, Sam.
Yeah.
Also,
can you tell Sam
on behalf of Sam's everywhere?
Yeah.
Don't want to give any kudos to Sam McDowell. Forget that guy. Right. Sam Mellinger, though. Yes.
Yeah, well, on that we can agree.
Why wouldn't you mention Rustin?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a damn regular guest on the show.
That's what I meant to say. It was you and Rustin.
And I'm a little disappointed. I was at least hoping for a retweet when I saw a wonderful picture of you and Rustin died, and I suggested that was going to be the season 3 of True Detective. A lot of people like that.
Sorry to let you down.
It just looked like a trailer there. I can promise you I'd watch that show, and if I couldn't
see
it live, I'd DVR it. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the two of you working on any case.
Yeah. Rustin would be the dry detective right. With the the sardonic wit. You know,
he'd be in charge of the soundtrack.
Yeah,
you'd be Woody Harrelson, and he would be
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, you see that?
I'll take it.
Rustin would be living in the bottle of whiskey throughout the entire investigation.
Yes.
All right, but we're lucky enough to have you guys both on the show, and that was that was very well written. Your column on Eric Hosmer, but we know what happened. The game's over. They're moving on. We'll see who comes back. But I don't know if I call this a surprise or not. I want to get your thoughts before we move on to the Chiefs. John Heyman earlier this morning, and he's usually very good as good sources, tweeted out that Dave Island and the Royals have mutually agreed to part ways. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, there were rumblings in recent days, I would say. When I first heard those rumblings, I am surprised. Dave, on that coaching staff, and I don't know the reasons here, but Dave on that coaching staff, I do know this, is sort of the most independent thinker, the one that, kind of does his own thing.
Seems like a lot of pitching
more.
Coaches are kind of like that.
Yeah, and most of it to the Royals' benefit. You know, I mean, it was Dave that... really hammered on Ned back in 2014 that, Aaron Crow does not have to pitch the sixth inning every inning, no matter what. It was after that Daniel Nava game where he hit the grand slam on a Sunday afternoon and the Royals lost and Ned kind of messed up the bullpen. After that, he really did change. Dave has sort of leaned on Ned a lot to open his mind and try new things. And to Ned's benefit, and to his credit, I should say, he's taken him up on that and evolved as a manager. I don't know if something happened between those two. I don't know if Dave just wants to be home. I don't know exactly the details, but it does make me think about things like that Dave has always been sort of his own man and pushing his own way.
What wasn't it Ned that brought him in, though? Well, I feel like when they first hired him, it was because of a relationship that Yost had had with him.
I'd have
remembering
to double check that.
Maybe it's possible that my memory is is feeling at this point. But
I think he was hired by Ned. But, I mean, you know, like, guys go crosswise all the time.
Sure,
yeah.
And I always, during Dave Island's stint here as the pitching coach, there have been a lot of pitchers that have come here and improved their basic statistics, right? Mm-hmm. Like their ERA has gotten better or whatever. They've had some of their best years here. But I always wonder how much of that is Dave Island figuring out the right way to help get the most out of these pitchers, and how much of it was that these guys were coming to play in Kauffman Stadium in front of one of the greatest defenses in the history of baseball.
For sure.
You know? I mean, it's hard for me to separate where all that credit goes.
No, absolutely. I mean, that was one of the things I was reminded yesterday when Jason Vargas was talking after the game. He was maybe the first pitcher I can remember who just openly talked so much about one of the big reasons I wanted to come here. And look, like, it's all money, right?
Right.
But beyond that, one of the big reasons that he wanted to come was that Lorenzo Cain is playing center field in one of the biggest ballparks in baseball. And that's kind of a pitcher's dream. I think that Dave is very good at identifying specific, you know, mechanical issues or, you know, one little thing that may not even be the real reason, but can trigger the reason that a guy's struggling, if that makes sense. And he can identify that. And then at that point, it's just a matter of, you know, getting the message through. And look, like, I say this as somebody that really likes Dave and thinks that he's a really good coach. And I've had a lot of fun conversations with him over the years. This was also a team that was 10th in ERA. This year, I think we would all agree that that was an underperformance. Kelvin Herrera really struggled. You know, Ian Kennedy really struggled. I mean, Jacob Junis, I guess, would be the biggest success story. Mike Minor, Scott Alexander had a good year. But, you know, it just from a pure baseball standpoint, if you look at, you know, what the pitchers did, maybe it's not that surprising that Dave won't be back. And I say that as someone that thinks that Dave should be back. And that Dave is a really good pitching coach and will have a job, I'm sure, next year if he wants one.
Okay, one more point on the Royals before we move on and talk about football the rest of the hour. It was a great moment to see Eric Hosmer hit that home run in the first inning and to see those four players walk off the field together in unison to the cheers from the crowd. That was terrific as well. But now the season's over and maybe their Royals careers are over. Who comes back of the free agents? What's your official prediction on day one of the offseason for the Royals?
None of them.
Nobody. Escobar, no one.
I don't think so.
Vargas.
I mean, Escobar's the most likely, I think. That depends on what they think of Raul Mondesi as much as anything. If one guy's going to come back, that'd be the one. It wouldn't shock me if any of them came back, but I look at Eric Hosmer, I think he's going to get $150 million. Royals are out. Mike Moustakas, I've always thought, you know, Southern California, the Angels make a lot of sense for him. He is the one guy of in that group, depending on what you think of Mondesi. Moustakas is the one guy in that group where they have a replacement. You know, Chesler Cuthbert can play that position at a lot cheaper. Lorenzo Cain will be 32 in April. And, you know, if we use the Dexter Fowler contract as a comp, that was 5 years, $82 million,
no.
I think.
No.
So if you're talking about at least 4 years, excuse me, because Lorenzo Cain is a year older than Fowler was when he signed that contract. So even if you give him 4 years at $18 million plus per, are you going to do that?
But would you put as much as you could into one big offer for Hosmer and Hosmer and swing for the fences if you're the Royals, or just like, okay, no, we're not even
going to get I think you should try. Yeah,
okay,
I'm not saying just give up. I think you should try. I think Eric Hosmer... there's no reason not to try.
But that would be my top priority. That would be
yes. But here's the other thing though. Like, they already have $100 million committed to, I think it's 9 players next year. So then you're talking about $125 million, $120 million committed to 10 players. You have to fill out the rest of the roster at some point. I just don't know how high David Glass is going to be willing to push the payroll for a team that's probably not going to compete next
year. Dude, these guys, they're moving on.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing First, Ned Yost told us about the scene on the road trip when Moustakas broke the home run record, in which Eric Hosmer toasted the entire team and said, "This is the legacy we're leaving for you guys." Then we saw it yesterday, and I realize markets change, and so I guess there is the one possibility I would offer up is if somehow for some bizarre market shift, the guys can't get anywhere near what they all just assume they're going to get. And they look back at it and go, okay, well, actually, we can get a better deal here, so maybe I will consider it. But I think as of right now, in their minds, these guys are already gone.
Agree, yeah.
You know? And but you know what? They probably feel like it's, hey, look, we've done this. We've had this great six-year run. It's time for each of us to kind of strike off and do our own new thing, and it's time for the organization to start the process and finding the next wave of guys that can do that.
They don't owe Kansas City a dime in every indication that you hear from me. I mean, just little things like when Jason Vargas is talking. And Jason Vargas, by the way, is the guy that's talked to these guys about free agency. He's gone through free agency. And, you know, not at the level of Eric Hosmer, right? But still, he's gone through free agency. And he talked about, you know, I know it's an awkward feeling when you're leaving the nest. And he talked about, you know, we'd all love to be back, but things don't work out the way that you want a lot. And you know, the more, look, like I hear this, right? And you guys do too, about where else are these guys going to get this amount of love? Like, why, you know, how many millions do you need and all that stuff? Like, I don't know. Have you ever turned down $10 million? Have you ever turned down $1 million? Like, and, we get into this place where we expect the ball players to do it, and I just don't think that it's realistic at all. And well, that's probably not the point that you're trying to make.
I would sleep with Robert Redford for $1 million.
They made a movie about that.
That's an offer that's been made on.
I didn't even know about that. That just popped in my head. I wasn't even referring to the movie.
I'd probably do it for $100,000.
I don't want to talk about baseball anymore. And I feel that there is that growing sentiment.
Let's do it.
I feel like a boss might walk down the hall at some point. Right? I'm sorry. I don't. Somebody in that football.
Let's do it.
Just want to listen to the song for a minute.
I got some barbecue in here.
We've got tailgating from our friends at Sunfresh. You can get the tailgate pack. Zarda barbecue at Sunfresh. Just pick it up and tailgate.
What up, Zarda?
You doing it at home?
All I can picture is Todd Lebo right now saying, grab a Zarda picnic pack.
Emotional?
Zarda?
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get Sam Mellinger all footballed up.
Yeah.
We're going to get him some ribs and some pulled pork.
Some hams.
Some hams if you got one. Some beans.
Some kadoos.
Get him going.
I'm not going to get up.
Shake
I've never
up.
Heard that kadoos before.
Here's this segment's going to be so good. You're going to get off the air and you go, man, you're going to get all these kadoos with all the things you said today. Trust me, it's going to be part of you.
You got to give him some kadoos for being able to do that.
I want all the kadoos.
I used to have a Vermeil. Vermeil dropped that once, too. Mm-hmm.
Kadoos is a coach thing, kadoos. I think.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So it's more than one coach. It's
right.
Just, yeah.
So it's like mini Chiefs coaches.
Right. What is your, if you were, so before,
the ribs.
If you were having, if you're watching football at home, you don't have to give a brand or whatever, but what's the one dish or one watch party item that's a must-have on your list? Is there a special Mellinger dip? Is there a sandwich? Is there a...
You ever had wing dip, Steven?
Go on.
It's basically the taste of wings in a dip.
I love it.
Your cream cheese, your cheddar cheese, your wing sauce, your blue cheese. You can use ranch, but I prefer blue cheese.
Cheddar.
Is that it?
It's
probably something else. Did I say cream cheese?
Yeah, you got to have blue cheese. I love blue cheese.
I think you've listed five different kinds of cheese.
And chicken. And you can put some chicken in there, too. Yeah.
So cream
and
cheese, cheddar cheese.
It is effing delicious. Is that where you thought I was going?
No.
Cream cheese, cheddar cheese, blue cheese, wing sauce, chicken.
I've got it on my phone here. I'll actually.
Yeah, I mean, anything else? Like a special
maybe after
like
the
blue.
Break, I'll give out the recipe.
It's an offshoot of what I thought you were
going to do. Pour some whiskey in there by any chance? I don't know.
Because it's. I feel like you and I have a very similar routine, which is the peanut wings.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
There's a Minsky's right next door to the peanut where I get my wings. So sometimes it's like a little pizza here, a little wings here, take it all home, and then just roll around.
So you thought I was going to...
I thought you were going peanut wings.
I like the fact you came up with something homemade.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
legit.
That. You know what?
I'm going to Zara Barbecue.
Your mouth is full.
You guys, here it is.
Barbecue. You can get it at Sunfresh Market right now, please.
Two packages of cream cheese.
Two.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of chicken. One package of cheddar cheese.
One.
One cup of blue cheese.
One.
One cup of Frank's wing sauce. Frank's, mix it all together. Put it in the oven for a little bit. One of the geniuses is it's delicious, warm and cold.
Right.
So it's one of, you know, yeah, like sometimes you go to a tailgate and you got to eat it hot or else it's going to suck later. Like this is just, it's good anytime. It's good in the morning. It's good at night.
Have a little piece of Sam Mellinger at your tailgate tonight. Back after this on WHB. Play another Chiefs song, why don't you? In the words of many listeners out there, talk Chiefs. So here we are. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. He always goes back to this song, regardless of how many times it's banned and what's said about it.
Really? I mean, you got to ban me if you want to ban this song.
Jake and, well, we've tried.
Nope. Jake's banning for something.
Like, you know what? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Really.
Like that.
Right.
F and A, Cotton.
Sam Ellinger. Let's start with the bad news. Injuries. No D Ford. And Justin Houston is 100%, so that's good.
Wait, what?
Nate, go ahead. He's not playing tonight. Go ahead.
D Nate. Who?
D Nut. Got him! Got him!
Good Monday morning to you, Kansas City.
I mean, if we're going to lose Alcides Escobar, then we're down one player where I can do that.
So D Ford is out.
Sam's like, God, what?
D who? D Nut.
And Frank Zombo Stark.
Got him!
That leaves on the depth chart, the only outside linebacker is Tano Passanio, who I was unsure was an outside linebacker until he popped up on the depth chart there during training camp.
K-Pass.
D Ford has not always been thought of as an impact defender, and he's been inconsistent. But I think he's better than he gets credit for. What about, let's start there, any concern about D Ford out for tonight?
Yes. I mean, I think that getting pressure on Kirk Cousins is key to beating Washington. More specifically, I think that getting pressure on the quarterback without blitzing has been the single, I don't want to exaggerate, but one of the single biggest reasons that the Chiefs are 3-0 and have looked so good. Because once you create pressure without blitzing, you can do, I mean, that's a cheat code to win football games. And D Ford, yeah, I mean, like we've all been on the D Ford jokes, right? But I agree with you. I think he's better than maybe he gets credit for sometimes. One of the keys for the Chiefs this year that I don't know how many sacks they have and where it ranks. I could look it up real quick, but I'm uninterested. The bigger, the more effective, the more impactful thing that they've done is just pressure on the quarterback, just pure pressure, not necessarily sacks. That's how they beat the Chargers in a lot of ways. I mean, Phillip Rivers kind of sucked on his own, but once you get him out of the pocket, he's kind of useless. And they did that over and over and over again, and D Ford was a big part of that. Passanio, I'm excited is probably not the right word, but I'm intrigued. Curious. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what he is.
People that didn't get a chance to go up to training camp, he's raw, and he you know, played at Villanova. Yeah. But, you know, all apologies to Frank Bull and his leather helmet. They don't play at the highest you know level of competition, but he's an athletic freak, and he can just so gifted. He can do some things that other guys his size just can't do. And guess what? There's not a whole lot of guys his size to begin with out there on the football field.
On a field in a league full of freaks,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he is on the extreme end of that spectrum. 6'7", right? Like 290, something like that.
And just, not an ounce of fat anywhere to be
chiseled,
found.
Just chiseled, long arms. You know, if they can teach him how to play football, he's going to be a monster. And this game, like, they've got a decision to make, right? Like, after the season with D Ford, you know, about whether to pick up the option if I have the years right. And, you know, moments like this will tell them a lot. But, yeah, I mean, I think that D Ford is, you know, for all the jokes and stuff the first, 2 years that he was with the Chiefs in the league, he's a good player. He's a really good player. When he uses his speed to get around the edge and maybe even uses his speed to do an inside move, he can create some pressure. So, yeah, I think that is an important thing tonight.
Think about the development of these guys. How silly would it have seemed 3 years ago if we were sitting here talking about, boy, Eric Fisher and D Ford could really hurt losing those guys. You know, 3 years ago, you would have been like,
Right.
You know, whatever.
And again, now, Eric Fisher questionable with back spasms. And that does scare the hell out of me because of the unknown what's behind him.
That changes the plays that you call.
It does.
As much as anything. That means a lot of quick passes.
Bringing guys over to help, that's one less guy that can go out into a pass pattern if he's got to stay in and help block.
And they did have some issues pass protecting last week, even with Eric Fisher out there.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about the offense and what we expect to see. Let's hopefully assume that Eric Fisher is going to be out there because, like you said, it does change everything. We don't know what they'll do without Eric Fisher and how that could change the game plan. But we have seen a Chiefs offense that, you know, week one took a lot of shots downfield, and we find out that New England's defense is just bad. It's not very good at all. The opportunities were there. And then fast forward to last week, a lot more short passes, more conservative. They were playing from in front, so they were protecting the lead, and they didn't have to get overly aggressive because San Diego didn't seem like they were going to get to 17 points ever. What about tonight? What do you expect to see? Washington has a good defensive front. We heard Herm Edwards talking about it. They should be riding high after a dominating performance over the Oakland Raiders. What is this offense? What is the identity of this new-look offense? Joe Banner, the former president of the Philadelphia Eagles, tweeted out that's one of the top stories in the NFL so far this year, that Andy Reid has basically redesigned this offensive scheme. What do you expect to see? What is the identity of this offense?
From the Chiefs?
Yes.
I think that the identity is, you know, in baseball, you always talk about the key to pitching is keeping hitters off balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, to me, as much as anything, is the Chiefs' identity on offense. The key to them is keeping the defense off balance.
Creating mismatches.
Yes. And, you know, I think about, you know, the Rams ran kind of the same play to Gurley. But I think about Kareem Hunt's 76, 78, whatever it was, yard touchdown catch where they got him isolated, I think, on a linebacker. I think about in the Chargers game, and I appreciate that you dropped to San Diego.
Right.
In your question, I do.
And
like,
I can't, you know, what am I can't, I'm not, whatever.
You should,
what
we shouldn't let it go.
That's
they should be San Diego. In that game, they got Tyreek Hill isolated on a linebacker for his, I think that was a 30-yard touchdown. That, to me, is the key to, that's the identity of the Chiefs. It's Andy Reid's mind, his creativity, and not just his creativity, but that creativity married with a roster that is perfect for him with all of the, he's got freakish speed. He's got versatility with Travis Kelce. He's got, you know, Chris Conley, I think, is gaining, you know, sort of a grasp of the offense. He's got athletic linemen. I think that is really key, especially on the shovel passes that we see near the end zone and on short yardage plays in the middle of the field. He's got athletic linemen that are really good pulling and getting downfield and wiping out linebackers. It is a mind married with personnel that is really hard to defend. I mean, I think about that shovel pass all the time, every game, but how in the hell would you defend that? What do you do? You know, if you got the fastest man in the NFL sprinting around one sideline, Kareem Hunt, who's, you know, broken more tackles and a lot faster than that 4.66 that he ran, sprinting around the other side, and then up the middle, Travis Kelce running behind a couple 300-pounders who have pulled and are wiping out your linebackers. That, to me, is an impossible play to defend, and that to me is the identity of the Chiefs offense.
And I've liked what I've seen from Conley, even though the numbers don't suggest that he's that big of a threat. He has made some big plays, and we've talked a lot about that play that Brian Baldinger tweeted out where he was open, wide open for a long touchdown, but Alex Smith, you know, checked down to DeAnthony Thomas, still a 14-yard gain, but it's one of those plays where there's a couple, and Kelce was kind of open, but you start to see 3 and 4, and he, look, Albert Wilson has come up big a couple of times.
Yes.
So many diverse weapons on this football team. It's extremely exciting to watch, and you pair that with Andy Reid's football mind. That's why this offense has been dynamic so far this
year. 100%. And it's one of those, like, the calibration of it is in perfect balance right now, it seems. And some of that is Kareem Hunt's emergence. But they just, everybody's complimenting each other. You know, Tyreek Hill's speed down the field makes Travis Kelce in the, you know, sort of intermediate routes all that more dangerous. Kareem Hunt doing what he's doing with handoffs or shovel passes or whatever makes Travis Kelce more dangerous and Tyreek Hill more dangerous. It's just they have – the Chiefs are presenting more problems than a defense has solutions.
I think that goes back to what Herm told us earlier, though, about why first down is so crucial for the Chiefs on offense compared to other teams. Because the biggest weapon that the Chiefs do have is the fact that you have to play them honestly. Mm-hmm. You don't know what they're going to do or where they're going to go with the football. If they stay on schedule, that remains the case. If they get into second and third and long, they lose some of that unpredictability. Mm-hmm. And we've seen them, and it's still the case this year. When they get in third and long, especially if they're not trailing by a lot, you're going to see a draw play or a swing pass to a running back that's going to go for 5 yards, and they're going to punt the ball away. You know, so stay on schedule, and they can keep putting good drives together.
I think I saw a stat the other day. The Chiefs are averaging something like, is it 10.4 yards?
It's crazy.
On first down?
Yeah.
And I will say this. The difference there, too, is with these players that are better one-on-one players, and I mean in space, they're more likely to beat their guy, make the first guy miss, like last year in the running backs. Spencer Ware, fine player. Charcandrick West. You know, they're not going to turn nothing into something. Kareem Hunt, we've seen the ability. He is the playmaker. And before last year, Tyreek Hill, there was nobody like Tyreek Hill. And so a small play, maybe what looks like a conservative play, could turn into something big because the Chiefs have actual playmakers.
They are totally different, and I think that's easy to miss because the personnel hasn't changed that much and the coaching staff has been consistent. But you know, Tyreek Hill was on the team last year, and he was a star, 12 touchdowns, whatever it was. But he took, I think it was 40% of the offensive snaps. Now he's, I'm guessing, 80, 90, maybe even more than that. That's a huge difference. And then Kareem Hunt, too. I mean, it's a really good point that you make about, you know, that's been one of the biggest problems with the Chiefs' offense the last 4 years, I guess, with Andy Reid, is they didn't have somebody that could win that. You know, just be better than the guy who's trying to tackle you. Make him miss. Get around him. Kelce can do that. Other than that, I don't know who they had. And now Tyreek Hill can, you know, does it on the regular. You know, Kareem Hunt, I think, is still leading the league in forced missed tackles. And once you have that, once you have these guys, you know, Andy Reid's thing is, you know, he can scheme guys open. He can scheme, you know, a 6 yard play. But now he's scheming that for a guy that can turn that 6 yard play into 12.
It's like a point guard now that's surrounded by players who can make their shots now.
You know, because
the point guard has to have guys that make shots to get assists. Now, Alex Smith, all of a sudden, he can dump this off and you turn into a 30 or 40-yard play where it's been the same thing he's done in the past. He has playmakers around him. We have Sam Mellinger. We'll get into the game and get Sam's thoughts on what he thinks will happen tonight at Arrowhead. Jake, put the phone down. He's not going to give you that, you know, no action, please. You know, Sam does not work that way. He's just doing this strictly for entertainment and the listeners and the viewers.
Oh, I'm just reading Twitter.
Right, you're waiting. Back all after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati look like Seren was unhappy about something. Get to the bottom of that. We've got Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star in studio.
See how we do life around here, Sam? It's pretty good. We do life good.
This is just a very good morning.
It is.
We do life.
I thought when I left my house, I thought I forgot to eat breakfast just because I'm an idiot.
Nope.
Turns out I forgot because you guys had ribs here.
Right. And you can too if you go to Sunfresh, get you some Zarda barbecue tailgate pack for tonight. Mm. And hell, you don't have to stay home. Just take it out to Arrowhead. And you're ready to go. Sit there and sit in your car by yourself and eat.
I think I'm going to do that tonight.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that either. Don't let anyone judge you. Now, Sam Mellinger, your thoughts on this game, as I mentioned, Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins after a dominant performance on Sunday Night Football last week against the Oakland Raiders. They had to feel very confident coming to town. And we've talked a lot about Kirk Cousins in the past here on the show. What do you think of the Redskins and how they match up against the Chiefs?
Well, I think they're really good. I think it's a dangerous team. I think when you're playing a team that effectively runs the ball and effectively stops the run, that's a tough team to beat. Now, I think that the Chiefs, in some ways, are they're not well built to face a team that runs the ball effectively. But I do think that they're effectively built to beat a team that stops the run because they can get those short yardage plays in a lot of different ways. I think, you know, like every game, I guess, I think one of the big keys will be how much pressure they can get on Kirk Cousins. A couple other things. One, like, I know this is backwards. I think that when you play a team right after they have a dominating win like that, Oakland's a good team. And to just mop the floor with them, I think maybe it's not so bad to play that team the next week.
They hammered him.
You know, like, I think you can, I think that might be a good time to catch him. I wouldn't, you know, the other thing, people are only going to like hearing half of this. I think that home field advantage at Arrowhead is overrated, except at night. I think at night that place freaking explodes.
I agree with that.
I think winning a road game at Arrowhead at night, I think, is a brutal assignment.
Unless Jamal Charles fumbles, and he can't do that tonight.
Or the ref calls a whole.
Don't look
penalty.
At me like that. He's not on the team, so he can't do it.
Jake's mad.
I can say that now. He's a Bronco. Hope he doesn't fumble there. Now, something else that is, I think, a good reality check for Chiefs fans who might just be taking for granted that the Chiefs are going to win this game. This game is taking place the day after the Buffalo Bills went to the other undefeated team heading into this weekend, the Atlanta Falcons, and won on the road. And then Carolina won on the road against New England. New England's dropped two games at home now. And so, and look, that didn't surprise me as much as the Buffalo-Atlanta game. I did not think Buffalo would go to Atlanta and win. So that's a reminder. Things are a little bit goofy. Now the Chiefs are the only undefeated team left in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and again, like, I mean, I just, Washington, this is a really good team. I mean, I'm just looking at their, if you go by yards, sixth in the league in offense, fourth in the league in defense.
I like Jay Gruden, too.
Yeah.
He's an innovative offensive mind. And he talks, he sounds like a guy that's doing a bad impression of John Gruden.
That's exactly what he sounds like. I tell you what, you know, these guys, you know.
This guy's real good after contact.
Contact, you know.
So you said about Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt, the probability of high contact.
And I keep saying this, and I don't want to jinx it, because I like Terrell Pryor. I thought I think it's been interesting to watch his journey from what he was at Ohio State. And people forget he was signed briefly with the Chiefs for a while, and they took a look at him. And so then he had a breakout year as a receiver. They signed him as a free agent to be their number one guy, and he has not. You know, sometimes it takes a while as a free agent. I keep saying he hasn't had a big game. I hope that's not tonight, but that's another kind of unique matchup problem because of his size and athleticism. That you got to look out for, and he really hasn't done much this year for Washington. And so they're a fun offensive team to watch, and it doesn't matter who's back there. They can run the hell out of the football. This Chris Thompson, he looked a little like Tyreek Hill or Kareem Hunt last week.
Yeah, I mean, and that's even with Samaj Perine having a, you know, kind of a rotten start to his NFL career.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and correct you on the pronunciation. Samaje Perine. The reason I know it well is because I was standing on the sideline as he broke the NCAA rushing record.
He did have a day,
didn't
he?
Kansas down in Norman, Oklahoma. So I heard his name very many times that day by the PA announcer.
He did have a day.
He's big.
Yeah. A few people have had days. But that's probably
a different
story. A different day.
We can talk about that right now.
But look, like, this is the kind of game, right, where I do think at some point, the Chiefs are going to lose a game that nobody expects them to lose. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a Bucs last year, a Titans last year, something like that.
What happened to the Falcons yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. I just I don't think it's tonight. I think that, you know, part of the losing a game that you don't expect them to lose, you know, maybe you catch them off guard, you catch them without focus. I don't think that's the Chiefs this week. I think, you know, Monday Night Football, night game at Arrowhead, a legitimate, you know, good opponent. If the Chiefs play, this is not disrespectful to Washington, but if the Chiefs play their, you know, like a B-plus game, I think they win, you know, anything like that. I think Washington can play as well as they want, but if the Chiefs do what they should do, what they're capable of doing, they'll win this game. I really do believe that.
What's the score going to be?
How about 28-24?
28-24.
I think some points will be scored.
And who will be the big off? It's fun. It's fun when there's more than one option. Who will be the big offensive star tonight for the Chiefs? Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, or Travis Kelce?
I think Travis Kelce, a week after getting one target for 1 yard, will have a big day.
Mm-hmm. You think it was a coincidence that he got one target for 1 yard last week?
So what I don't think is a coincidence is that, and they run that shovel pass differently each week, but I'm not convinced that it was a coincidence that the shovel pass was for Albert Wilson last week and not Travis Kelce. But I do think that the one target thing was largely a coincidence. And Therese did a really good job. He wrote something that was on our website this week that, you know, the Chargers kind of took him away. They were chipping him. They were focusing on him. And the Chiefs, this is different, but they can put the ball in other people's hands and make plays.
Well, again, it's been mostly all football here because the Monday Night Football at Arrowhead tonight. But Ned Yost will have a 10:30 press conference. Boy, the long list of questions keeps getting longer now for people like Nate Buchanan and Cody Tapp attending the press conference. Now, Rustin Dodd has tweeted out that Dave Island, Don Wakamatsu, Brian Buchanan, and Doug Henry, none of them will be returning to the coaching staff. So the pitching coach, the bench coach, assistant hitting coach, and the bullpen coach, according to Rustin Dodd, and Sam says we can trust him, so we'll go with Sam there. And Rustin, you know, he can get a little shifty sometimes. You have to make sure.
That's his nickname at Star, isn't it? Right.
Shifty Russ.
Oh, Shifty Dodd over there. Shifty Dodd reporting. Yeah.
You just made lose to lose, Sam. Congratulations.
Yeah. So anything there? I mean, I don't... Anything to take away there? The hell did Don Wakamatsu do?
No, I mean...
It's an impact. And
I don't know. I mean, we talked about... Dave's the important one there. You know, Don Wakamatsu's had an interesting time with the Royals. There was a time that I don't think he was necessarily in the circle of trust among those coaches.
Sure, so they know.
You know, I think he worked his way into that, and I think, you know, developed a much better relationship with Ned over the last few years. I don't know what happened there, but he has had an interesting time here.
I mean, there isn't a circle now. It's right. Like a straight line of trust.
Yeah, there's a dot.
There's just trust. Yeah. Me.
I'm kind of wondering.
Him and Dale.
And I don't remember, but I think, like, you know, Ned Yost's contract gives him one more year. I think the next year is a good payday. And it kind of makes me wonder if, because it just seemed natural and logical for a lot of us to look at it and see if I'm Ned Yost to go, I'm riding off into the sunset with the guys. I don't really want to stick around for another rebuild. That's what I feel like that's what I would be doing. I'm not Ned Yost. But if there's a huge payday in one more year on the contract from Ned Yost, maybe these other coaches don't have that payday and they're going, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and see myself out now.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, Sam, why don't you get out to Arrowhead earlier and stop at the Sports Radio 810 tailgate tent. We fed you barbecue. I can feed you some Hy-Vee pizza and get you going. You won't have to pay for food the rest of the day. Then you get the media food. Come on, we got you taken care of. That's Sam Mellinger. Follow him on Twitter. Mellinger is his handle. Go get yourself another couple of ribs and grab some kadoos, and you'll be on your way.
Don't mind if I do.
Right. That's exactly right. We will take a break. When we come back, you will hear our lengthy conversation with Chiefs cornerback Terrence Mitchell, who had 9 tackles and 2 interceptions against the San Diego, Los Angeles, California, Carson, California Chargers last week. So you listen to that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You got to give him some kudos for being able to do that. Some ribs.